Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am filled up this morning. I'm filled up. Woo, thanking God for Pastor Fred. I had been missing my morning glory time, been doing other things, but God said go to morning glory this morning. Woke me up early this morning. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor Fred, too. Thank you, Morning Glory Nation. We as ministers and teachers and preachers and pastors, whatever title you may have in the fivefold ministry, we got to be filled too. You know, so many times you want to give it out, but you got to get it in. I get mine in different places, but mostly I get it in every morning when I can in Morning Glory, or I get into my word, which I have done also this morning. But I just want to say thank you. You know, and I have to bring it on over here to moving forward, that we have got to pray for our children. We have got to keep our sons and our daughters lifted up. The enemy is busy. He is busy. And we got to pray that anointing over our sons and over our daughters. We've got to ask God to cover our children. The devil is not after you. He is after your children. He's after your sons. He's after your daughters. He's after your grandchildren. The younger, the better. And we got to pray. And my pastor says it to us all the time. You don't have to be old to die. I'm blessed. I say it every day. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I'm blessed. I could have died at 7 years old being disobedient. I've spoken this testimony before. I was a disobedient little thing. Told not to go across the street. But instead of listening, teachers was busy. Everybody playing. I got dared to go across the street to Miss Biggs's grocery store and get a pickle. I went across the street, got across fine, got my pickle and my peppermint stick, because, you know, I had a little money in my pocket. Thought I was Miss Thing, because we was having a carnival, and moms and dads gave you a little cash to pay just being at the carnival for the school. I went across that street, got the pickle with the peppermint, and went to go back across the street. And I got hit by a car. Don't remember the hospital. Don't remember anything except for not being able to walk and having to be carried, all because of being disobedient. We must cover our children. I have been in children's ministry for a long time. That's how I got back. That's where God called me when he called me back into church, because I had tuned out, giving my testimony. I tuned out of church, not God, but church. I did not want to be bothered with those people, hypocrites. And why? Because one had said something that just irked me about one of my children. Again, children. You know, you're not going to show favors with my kids. Because that's what causes dissension within families, is people showing favors. Well, I like this one, but that one is bad. this one is good, but that one is bad. You know, no, you're not. Not with my kids. So, tuned out. Didn't go to church. Didn't send them to church. And I regret. Oh, my regret. That I didn't do what was done with me, train up a child in the church. They knew the word because my husband and I, we never did not have time with God in our household. One of them went to a Christian school, made sure he was getting that word in at school. And one was going through. We have got to pray for our children. Pray and pray some more. And I worked in children's ministry for years. Then started women's ministry, started into women's ministry, created a women's ministry. And had to make a choice. So I loved children's ministry. And I missed it. I kept the kids choir, a kids preaching. But I missed teaching children. And I just kind of put it on the back burner until my pastor said, I need you back in children's church. And I was looking around, and I'm like, what happened to all of our kids? I had to get a bigger car because I was bringing the kids to church. I had a car full, 6, 7 kids on a regular basis, bringing them to church. And they started kind of moving away because my granddaughter changed, so she wasn't with this group of kids anymore. And I didn't understand what was going on. And then God called me back in the children's ministry, starting with the Easter program that's coming up. But I'm in for till God says something different. But I looked up, and we had 16 kids. I'm like, where did these kids come from? And my pastor just started cracking up. Just started laughing her head off. She said, I told you, that's your calling. That's where you're supposed to be. Look at these kids. We had these kids in forever. So you went back to church. Go back to where you're supposed to be. Care of our children. And I was going back over our lesson from yesterday. And one of the things we talked about was this father who brought his son to Jesus. It was in our March lesson on March the 5th. You know, we're going to get into our work because we're coming out of Joshua today. But this Mark chapter 9 word, it was from March the 5th, touched my heart. And God sent me back there this morning. He just reminded us about our children. And it was said, he answered, he said, so he asked his father, how long has this been happening? This man brought his son. And he said, he answered him. He said, this is verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, saw him immediately, the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown them both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to death and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. We got to have faith. We got to be strong, and we got to be courageous, knowing that God can do all things but faith. Father God, we come to you this morning with hands lifted up, hearts open wide, minds and spirits ready to receive what you have for us today. Lord God, let this word permeate hearts, minds, and spirits, that those that hear it will know that you are with us wherever we go. And all we have to be is strong and courageous, that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you will cover our children from the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet. Father God, I lift all the children of the world up to you today, asking you, God, to cover them from the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet as they go out to schools today, as they go on spring break, as they leave the safety of their parents' home. Lord, I ask you to watch over our children, whether they're young or old or grown, our children of their own or our grandparents of themselves. We ask you, Father, cover our children. Cover those that need you. Lord God, we thank you for putting shields of protection and anger around your sons and daughters, Lord God, that no hurt, no harm, no danger will come nigh to them. Father God, I thank you for traveling grace for my son as he travels the highway and byway to go to work and come home. I thank you for giving my other son and daughter and godson knowledge to do what you have called them to do. One, to work for the government. One, to be a doctor. One, to be one of the best car design people in this country that can tint, that can create, that can do things with car stereo systems that blow out the water. Lord, I lift them up. I lift up this God grandchild that you have given me, Lord God, these grandchildren. I ask you to cover the one graduating, cover her as she graduates from Johns Hopkins. You gave her a great opportunity, Lord. I ask you to bless her in her endeavor as she graduates. And, Lord, I ask you to watch over my other grandchildren, one as she maneuvers high school and the other as she gets ready to go to kindergarten. And, Lord, I ask your blessings over my family. I thank you for my cousin who has been named Teacher of the Year in her school district. I thank you for the teachers in my family, my sister, my cousin, my sister-in-law, educators in my sorority. Lord, I ask you to watch over them because you have entrusted them to watch over your children as they go in classrooms. Lord, let them take your Holy Spirit with them, that they cover each and every child they teach, each and every child that's here. We ask you, God, to watch over my nieces as they are also educators. One will be an educator and one is an educator. Lord, you have put the teaching of children in my family line. And I ask you, Father, as I teach children's ministry, that some child will be saved, that they all will know you and take you home with them, that their parents will say, what must we all do to be saved? But Lord God, your word says a little child shall lead them. Lord, I'm lifting up children today as I lift up children, Lord, I ask you to cover their parents, grandparents, extended family, godparents, spiritual mothers and fathers. Lord, I ask you to cover all those that are speaking into the lives of your people today. And Lord, I ask special prayers over families dealing with conflict, dealing with issues. Lord God, I ask for folks to be saved. I ask for your anointing to fall on Hollywood actresses and those that think they're above law and above order will have convictions to be saved. Those that think it's all right to speak ill of those that are going through because their title is comedian, I pray your anointing and your blood over them as well, that they will also say, what must I do to be saved? Because there are comics that are Christians and speak laughter and bring laughter into the church, not downing, not hurting, not harming, lifting up. Lord God, show us how to live righteous lives and do what you say do, and to remember and know that we must be strong and courageous, and that your word we can stand on, that you will never leave us or forsake. I lift up this word. I lift up our nations. I lift up our children. I lift up families. And ask you, Father God, let your anointing pour over this planet, that those who have never heard the name of Jesus will hear and say, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name, I pray, asking you, Father God, to increase as I decrease. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I didn't know God was going to have me pray that long today, but we have got to continuously lift up our babies. They need Jesus, and so do we. And let's get into our word today. Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited. Y'all know why I'm excited, right? Because y'all know that Joshua is my favorite. I have a love relationship with Joshua. I just think Joshua, son of Nun, has it going on. Yes, I do. Whew. My favorite scripture comes out of Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, as well as verse 5. I am excited. So let's get into my little book. Y'all know we have to get through this little explanation. And then we're going to get into the word. And it says, all 66 books explained and applied. Know your Bible. And as Pastor Fred said, do you have your Bibles with you this morning? Because this is Bible study. So it says this in Joshua. The author of Joshua is traditionally attributed to Joshua himself, except for the final five verses. And that's chapter 24, verses 29 to 33, which describes Joshua's death and legacy. It was written approximately 1,375 years before Christ. In 10 words or less, let's describe Joshua. The Israelites captured, settled the promised land of Canaan. In other words, they made it in. Can y'all say that? They made it in. Four words. We got it in. They made it in. We can say to the promised land. I'll still understand. So this is the word of God, and it says, details, please. And it says, when Moses and an entire generation of disobedient Israelites died, God tells Joshua to lead the people into Canaan, the promised land. In Jericho, the first major obstacle, the prostitute Rahab helps Israelites rise and earns protection from the destruction of the city and also earns her place in the lineage of Christ. That's me adding that. God knocks its walls flat as Joshua's army marches outside, blowing trumpets and shouting. Joshua leads a successful military campaign to clear idol worshiping people, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Havites, the Jebusites from the land. All the sites were gone. At one point, God answers Joshua's prayer to make the sun stand still, allowing more time to complete a battle. And that's in Joshua 10, verses 1 through 15. The sun stood still, and science can prove that. Major cities subdued. Joshua divides the land among the 12 tribes of Israel, reminding the people to stay true to the God who led them home. Now, therefore, put away the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel, Joshua 24 and 23. And the quotable, which is my favorite scripture, engraved in my heart, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. And I just like that New King James Version. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And when I say this, I put my name in it. Be strong and of good courage, Bridget Marie. Do not be afraid, Bridget Marie, nor be dismayed, Bridget Marie, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Bridget Marie, hallelujah. I'm thankful that my daddy God is with me wherever I go. And another quotable is this, one man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he is that fighting. He is that to fight it for you as he has promised you. Joshua 23:10. Choose you this day. Woo, hallelujah. Y'all's going to make me shout this morning. Who ye will serve, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. Hallelujah. That was a title for one of the women's conferences. Thank you, God. And this is the unique and unusual for Joshua. Joshua is one of few major biblical characters who seemed to do everything right. He was a strong leader, completely committed to God, who never fell into recorded sin or disobedience. Only one mistake mars his record, Joshua's experience with the Gibeonites, one of the local groups he should have destroyed. Seeing for their lives, they appeared before Joshua, dressed in old clothes, carrying dry, moldy bread, claiming they had come from a faraway land. Joshua and the Israelite leaders asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord, 9:14, and agreed to a peace treaty. When Joshua learned the truth, he honored his agreement with the Gibeonites, but made them slaves. And this is a so what. Joshua shows over and over how God blesses his people. The promised land was his gift to them, as were the military victories that he engineered. And again, Joshua, in 10 words or less, the Israelites captured and settled the promised land of Canaan. They came, they conquered, they destroyed, and they stayed, and they received God's promise. Hallelujah, that's just what I said. Let's get started. Joshua chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 24. And it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all of this people, to the land which I am giving to them. The children of Israel, every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. And that is what we do every morning, Sunday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. We meditate and read the word of God. What did it say? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. But then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's called faith. Faith over fear every day works. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days, you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Ooh, hallelujah. And to the Reubenites, the Gittites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brothers, armed all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Woo, hallelujah. Only be strong and of good courage. The Lord God is with us. Be strong and of good courage. Now Joshua the son of Nun, chapter 2 of Joshua. Two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened, as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you might overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stacks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the ford. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven, above and on earth beneath. Come on now. What did she say? He is God in heaven, above and on earth beneath. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has taken us, the land that we will deal kindly, as when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned, after which you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this mine of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. Unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if our hand is laid on them. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath which you made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. Then the pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. And I say this too, they went in and spied. They wasn't like the ten that came back afraid. Come on now. Hallelujah. The Lord knows what he's doing, and he knows who this is. And before we go into our psalm word, just a life lesson from Joshua 1 and 5. No man shall be able to stand before you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Before Joshua gave his first order or made his first move, as the new leader of Israel, he listened for the voice of God. Listening to God is essential to walking with God and securing his blessings. When we do God's will and God's way with God's help, no one and nothing can stand in the way of our success. The key is seeking the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. Y'all know that man know how to tell a story and how to get us on the right track. Thanking God for this mighty man of God. Joshua 1:8. You shall meditate in day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. The Lord gave Joshua the same command he issued to future Israelite kings in Deuteronomy 17:9. He was to meditate on the word of God every day. Knowledge of God's will is crucial to doing it. Hallelujah. And y'all know my scripture. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And as Dr. Stanley says, it's easy to focus on our problems, which we can see, and not on God, whom we can't. As Joshua discovered, God is with us no matter where we are or how big our problem seems. We got to learn how to tell our problems about our God, because our God already knows all of our problems. Joshua chapter, how can I find courage in times of adversity? And this is a life question. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. And for those that are joining this Moving Forward experience for the first time, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And the goal of this blog is to read and teach the Bible in 1 year. So on January 1st, we started in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And God's will, we were in on December the 31st in Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. And the last word of the Bible is amen. Hallelujah. So that is the goal. That is what my assignment is. It's God's word in 1 year. Sunday through Friday, the Sabbath is my rest day. On Saturday, I do not blog. But I thank God that I still get into my word. And this is what it says. In many ways, adversity is like boot camp. It is rigorous, painful, and challenging. Adversity causes us to adopt new routines and habits, to develop aspects of our being, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, that might not have developed as they should. Adversity can put us under the authority of people who affect our lives in ways foreign to us. Been there, got the adversity t-shirt. In all these areas, we need courage to keep our balance. We need courage as we get hit by many new feelings, facts, restrictions, limitations, obstacles, challenges, and offerings of advice and help. We need courage not only to endure times of adversity, but also to make the changes that adversity compels us to make. In any case, we can trust the Holy Spirit to help us in times of adversity and to grow and change so that we can live in keeping with examples set by Jesus Christ. Joshua knew all about adversity without question. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness had qualified him to understand hardship, trials and troubles, physical, relational, spiritual, and no doubt emotional and mental. Joshua all knew that the Lord was with him and his people. As a close associate of Moses, I call him, he was Moses' armor bearer. Where Moses went, Joshua went. Where Moses prayed, Joshua prayed. He was right there with Moses through it all. God said, this one, Joshua, son of Nun, that's going to be your armor bearer, pretty much. And he was the only one that could go to the mountain with Moses. And it goes on to say, Joshua had grown in his faith and leadership ability. When the time came for the people of God to cross the Jordan River and inhabit the land of promise, God named Joshua as the leader to succeed Moses. Can I say that again? It wasn't Sister Susie and the deacon board. It was God that chose Joshua. It wasn't the leaders of the 12. It was God who chose Joshua. I'm going to throw that out there. At three specific times, the Lord spoke to Joshua about courage. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them, Joshua 1 and 6. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, Joshua 1 and 7. I not commanded you be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, Joshua 1 and 9. Note the three things that require courage of Joshua to make decisions that affected other people under his leadership. Number two, to keep the laws and commandments even as changes occurred. Number three, to remember continually that the Lord was with him, despite what circumstances might indicate to the contrary. Every one of us needs courage to exactly the same three areas of our lives as we face adversity. Whew, what a word. To make decisions that affect other people under our leadership. to keep the laws and commandments, even as changes occur. And number three, to remember continuously that the Lord is with us wherever we go. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for this word this morning. And as we get to our start, one more life lesson, Joshua chapter 2, verse 11. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Can y'all say that with me? Joshua 2 and 11. This is a highlightable and a memory verse. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Genuine faith can take root, this is what that's saying to us, in the unlikeliness of thoughts as it did in the heart of the pagan prostitute Rahab. She had heard enough to believe, and the Lord saved her. Hebrews 11 and 31. God always follows through on his promises, but it encourages us greatly when his grace, he gives us a, when in his grace, he gives us a foretaste of that fulfilled promise. Thank you, God, for another day. Hallelujah. And we have to have that little point, may I not throw it away. Whew, Lord God, I thank you. Psalm chapter 41, verses 1 through 13. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. This is a psalm for the psalmist. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? And if he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it. And we know Saul was chasing David like he was a fox on a fox hunt. And it says, all right, he whispered together against me, they devised my hurt. An evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up that I may repay them. But this I know, that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my iniquity, my integrity. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. And a psalm life lesson is this. My own familiar friend in whom I trusted ate my bread and lifted up his heel against me. And this is a psalm of Jesus as well. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, and it's right on point as we go into our Passover, as we go into Good Friday, as we go into that remembrance of our Savior who died for us and took our sins to the cross, could not hold him down. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure because he is risen. Jesus applied this verse to Judas Iscariot as a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, John 13 and 8. Just because someone says, Lord, Lord, that does not mean they have a genuine relationship with God, Matthew 7 and 21. A proverb for this morning is Proverbs chapter 13, verses 15 through 16. And it says, good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. That's worthy to keep in your arsenal when you see people being foolish and acting foolish, because for every foolish act, there is a consequence. Whew, and we're not going to get into that. We're not going to go there today. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So we're going to keep it moving. Luke chapter 8, verses 26-56. Then they sailed to the country of Gadarenes. And I always say this wrong. Gadarenes, to Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tomb. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. But it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Satan was kicked out of heaven. He took a third of the angels with him. We all know he was that minister of music. He was that angel in charge of everything in heaven's choir. And he was a bright light in heaven. He was beautiful. But he wanted to be God and created confusion in the heavens. And he continues to create confusion on this earth. And this legion, a demon, fallen angel, they don't want to be sent into the abyss. Because they know that God has sent some and bound some. The powerful ones are bound. They never was allowed to be free to wreak havoc. Because we think Lucifer's bad. Try some of the ones that God has already locked down. Ain't nothing to play with. And they understand that when they go into the abyss, they can't come back. It's done. It's like the hell for angels. But this is what he said. "Now I heard a many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it to the city and in the country. They told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right manner, and they were afraid. Then they also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. And I love that song by Miss McNamara, I believe it's McNamara. And it just says, "I am a witness that it was Jesus. There's no doubt, nobody but the Lord. I have an assurance way down in my soul, and I shall not ask." for it was. Hallelujah. We are witnesses that it was Jesus that got that those demons, that legion out of the man. And that when they came, he was clothed in his right mind. And I believe he was clothed and no longer naked. Hallelujah. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him. For they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And we have heard the hem of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. Then Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude strong and precious." And you say, "Who touched me?" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And all I got to say is she was courageous. Hallelujah. She was courageous, and she was not walking in fear. She touched him. Hallelujah. And was made whole and healed. And it says, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered them, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." Then he came into the house. He permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Jesus was raising the dead all over the place. You know, we know about Lazarus, but this little girl, this little 12-year-old little girl, Jesus raised from the dead too. Hallelujah. And in Luke 8 and 53, they ridiculed knowing that she was dead. As a physician, Luke wanted his audience to know that the child Jesus healed was really and truly dead. One day, Jesus will destroy death altogether. We know 1 Corinthians 15 and 21. But even before then, he showed his mastery over it. Death has no, when it comes to the Savior, Jesus has it going on. And all I can say is thank you, God, this morning for this mighty and great word. God is good. Whew, hallelujah. I'm filled up, y'all. I am so filled up. Be strong and of good courage. That is what God has commanded us to do, and that is what we must do. Thank you, God, this morning for this mighty word today. I do not have Sister Carolyn's word yet this morning, but I do have our prayer and devotion and just something to think about as we go through our day on this April 6th day. And it says this, cannot be lost. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places are plain. Isaiah 40 and 4, NIV. Mighty One, and this is our prayer this morning. Whew, Mighty One, I have placed all my bets on you. I have sunk all my savings into knowing you. Don't let me down now. I am continually laying down my life before you as I seek to follow your ways. I know the road won't be straight and smooth. It certainly hasn't been up until now. But I also know that your love sustains me in ways I never imagined it could. Level the rough places and make the jagged path into open spaces. Just when it seems like the storm is too much to bear, speak peace and shine your light. Bring out all that was hidden. I will not give up no matter what may come. When I am linked to you, you will keep me when the way is winding, never letting me be lost. In your time, God, lead me out in peace. Wherever I am, let me be found in you. And a word for this morning. Do you believe God is with you in your life right now? Right on point, Lord. You know what did our word say this morning. We're going to go back one more time to Joshua 1 and 9. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. We're going to go back to Joshua 1 and 9. And he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And our question again for this morning is this. Do you believe God is with you in your life right now? The Lord has told us that the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. And if we go back up to verse number 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And that's all I have this morning. God is good and greatly to be praised. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us always. Why do I know this? Because his word says so. And I trust in the word of God. Thank you, Father God, for this word. And as we get ready to depart, as we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, once and together. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that God is with you and all you have to be is strong and courageous. Be blessed. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward. It's a wrap, folks. Why? Because we are always willing, ready, available, present, and praying. For each and every one of you, have a blessed day and know that God is with you. Wherever you go, be strong and courageous and be blessed. It's the wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. Love you.